This is Robert Rawson, part one of our study in the Cortland Lecture Program. Is there a way for us to be able to teach others more effectively? I believe that Jesus offered us a wonderful example. In the book of Matthew alone, there are over 170 questions that are asked, many of them by Jesus himself to those individuals that he wished to think more and study better the Old Testament prophets and the words of the Scriptures, and come to the conclusion that Jesus was in fact the fulfillment of what the prophet said, and he was in fact the Son of God. In using those particular questions, he asked such things about the prophet John the Baptist. He said, John's baptism, whence was it? Was it from heaven, or was it of man? Notice the questions that are asked there. Those questions were studied. Of course, they didn't give the proper answer to it because they simply were trying to be political in answering his question. Jesus then said, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things, when you do not tell me by what authority did John come teaching and baptizing. Was it from heaven or was it of men? If we'll use questions as we discuss with individuals, their level of understanding will become our level of knowledge. We'll recognize what they know and what their studies have been and how they're aware of something. Also, there's a second thing about that. When we ask questions of others, we show a genuine interest in what they understand and what they do. We understand that as we ask those questions, we are to be sincere. Don't let it be shown or seen that you're just simply asking a question to be argumentative about it. But as you ask that particular question, you will find an answer that will be helpful to them and helpful to their lives. Let's be people who follow the teaching of Jesus. You know, in John chapter 8, at verse 31, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Now, what is it that we need to do to really be the disciple of the Lord? Jesus said, if ye continue in my word. If we continue in the word of Jesus, then we'll truly be his disciple. You'll be my disciples indeed. There's a second blessing for you. You will be my disciple indeed, and you will know the truth. And then there's a third result of that great blessing. As a result of knowing the blessing, you will be free. These individuals wanted that way of life and were to pursue that way of life. But only if they continued in his word would they truly be his disciple, know the truth, and the truth make them free. What about in your life? Have you considered the scripture, the word of God, the Bible? If you have objections to the Bible being the Word of God, I want you to listen to the study that Brother Alan Drury brought to us in this lecture program about things that the Bible unveils for us that many hundreds and even thousands of years man has discovered by scientific knowledge to be true and accurate. How did Job and how did David and how did the people of the Scripture know those things? How did they write so matter-of-factly about those things? Well, as we find ourselves looking at the lifestyle of Moses and the time in which he lived, we can read also simultaneously of the knowledge of the medical arts of Egypt during his time. And we know that the medical arts of Egypt were completely different and foreign to what we read that Moses unveiled in the Bible. Noting to us in Genesis 9 at verse 4 that life is in the blood. How could he make such a common statement as that? And yet, we know later on the hemoglobin flowing through the blood, life is in the blood, carries the oxygen, the level of life, sustaining life. How did Moses know that in Genesis 9 verse 4 when he said the life is in the blood? Later on, it is noted in Leviticus 17 at verse 11, a study that Adam will be doing as he presents that particular question, is the Bible the Word of God? He'll look later at the last part to Leviticus 17 verse 11 that says the same thing, the life is in the blood. How did the Levitical writer, how did he know that? And how could he make such a factual statement about that? We believe that it's because he had extra help. And God knew what life was in the blood, and he thereby unveiled it through the writing of Moses and long ago. Is there another answer to that question? Is there another possible explanation that's just as good as? Let's use questions as we talk with individuals, showing our interest in them, showing the concern of leading them, and ask them to consider further what is stated. Will you consider what's stated in Genesis 9 at verse 4 and Leviticus 17 verse 11? Thank you for your time.